And I want to start today, today being the first Sunday in May 7th, 2023, we begin a new series of Sunday school lessons today. It's entitled, Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. Did I just change? All right. Is that good? You hear me now? Okay. All right. Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. And this is going to be a series of lessons from the Old Testament books, the minor prophets. They're minor only because they're not as big as the major prophets are. They're not as long. Yeah, they're not as big. Amen. They're still growing up on you, okay? But let me tell you something. These men of God, they love the Lord. And God called them to do a job that was needed in their day. And you know what? Whether we consider ourselves to be major or minor today in the army of the Lord, listen, we are still soldiers for the Lord. And we need to be found faithful. I put a little note in here today that faithful service unto God requires great courage. It requires great courage. Our theme verse today is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Now, I want you to note this verse today. God told Jeremiah, he said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Some of our soul winners were telling me from Thursday night, they went out to visit folks, and they had agnostics, they had atheists, they had some folks that just didn't want to listen, they had folks that didn't want to get saved or anything like that. And you know, sometimes that kind of intimidates you. And you feel like, boy, I don't know if I want to go to another door or go to try to tell somebody else about Jesus or not. But listen to me today. Service unto the Lord takes great courage. It takes great courage. In this lesson, we're going to look at some men of God that God gave them courage. God gave them supernatural boldness to do what they did for God. And I want you to see how that relates to us in our day today. Our lesson theme verse sums up what God told these men as he filled them with his power. And he told them, he said, "I want you to declare what thus saith the Lord." It's not what man thinks. It's not what people think. But it's what God thinks. And I want you to understand something. As these men did what they did for the Lord, some folks would listen. But many, many of the chosen people of God, the Jews, chose to reject God. They chose to mistreat these men of God. They chose to imprison them and even put many of them to death, all because they took a stand for the Lord. And you know what? I'm going to say this today because I want you to understand. If we see that in their day, we can expect no less in our day. The devil knows that his time is short. And he's causing folks today in this world to look at things through a natural, sinful eye. And folks think today that, you know, whatever pleases them is what gets the job done. But folks, we need to remember that what pleases God is what gets the job done. And we want to tell folks about the Lord Jesus. In Jeremiah 1:8, he said this to these men. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces." Have you seen somebody that you looked at their face and they could tell they were mad at you? Okay, all right. I've seen that look from my wife every now and then, okay? Listen, I know my wife and I can tell by the way she walks if she's happy or mad, okay? All right, I can tell. You can tell. There's just something different about that look, okay? That attitude, that little get up and go. But listen, I want to tell you something. God gave these men words of strength and words of courage. And God wanted them to know that he was going to be with them in the job that he gave them to do. And folks, let me tell you today, God will be with you as you stand for the Lord in your work situation, at your job site, at school, wherever you may be, at home, in your neighborhood. Stand faithfully for God. Do what's right. Do what God said do. You're not alone. You never serve the Lord alone. He's always with you. And I want to make him proud of myself. I want him to know that I love him enough to take a stand for him today. And I want you to do the same thing, okay? So let's look at things this morning. I will try to let you out early today. And I'm going to be preaching this morning in Pastor's Stay. So pray for me at 10:45. I'll be preaching in there as well. So I want us to look at this lesson today. God's servants, the prophets. God's servants, the prophets. I want you to see, first of all, the success of these Old Testament prophets. I want you to see their success. Now, I want you to understand something today. The only time that success comes before work is in the dictionary. Okay? That's the only time I know that it comes before. Success takes work. These men were called of God to do a job for the Lord, and it took diligence. It took work. Just like serving the Lord today takes diligence and work. Listen, raising your children in the paths of righteousness takes work. And years later, it may be years later before you actually see success, the proof of what you've done. But folks, stay faithful. These prophets serve the Lord faithfully. I want to show you some today. Just introduce some men of God, different ones that you'll be familiar with. I'm going to start today with the prophets who served before Joshua. Before Joshua. Now, we're going to use several passages of Scripture today. The first one I want you to turn to is actually in the New Testament. And I want you to turn over to the New Testament book of Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Here, Jesus is speaking to the crowds of people. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 49 through 51, he said, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation." Let me remind you of something, folks. This generation of Christians is going to give account unto God for this generation of sinners. I can't change what was done in the past, but I can do something about today. You and I can be found faithful to live for God today. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. He said, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." When Abel sacrificed unto God, he was giving witness to his belief that God would do what he said he would do when he offered up that little lamb unto God. And God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Now, Abel's brother didn't want to do that. He didn't want to offer that sacrifice. He offered the work of his own hands, and God rejected it. And yet, when Cain got mad at Abel, and he got mad at God, God told Abel, he told Cain, he said, "Cain, why art thou wroth? If you do right, you know, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be accepted." But he said this, he said, "Sin lieth at the door." And folks, today, sin lieth at the door. Sin is all around us today. Another early prophet of God, spoken of far back as Genesis chapter 5, I believe it was. He's written about here in the book of Hebrews, verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 11, is Enoch. Enoch. Enoch walked with God. The Bible said, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death." In other words, God took him out of this present world and took him home to be with him. he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Listen to this. That he pleased God. Folks, listen to me today. That is our goal as a child of God. Not that you can't please the world. No man can serve two masters, okay? That's why God only gave man one wife, okay? You can only please one master, all right? I kid you about that. But seriously, in this world, the world wants to take domain of everything you have. You know, the banks say, okay, we will give you all this if you will give us all of that, okay? And the world wants to take domain. The world wants to own you today. But listen, you can't serve two masters. Enoch had a good testimony. What was his testimony? That above all other things, he pleased the Lord. He did what God said do. The writer of the book of Hebrews went on to say in verses 32 through 40 of that same chapter, he said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." In other words, they did not see that Messiah came yet. But God had a plan. And look at this. It said, "God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Many times, though they were faithful to proclaim what thus saith the Lord, these people were mocked, they were beaten, they were imprisoned, and many were even put to death for the cause of God, for the courageous stand that they took for God." And when I read these passages, you know what comes to my thought? I don't have it so bad today. I've not been imprisoned yet. Hadn't been beaten yet. Hadn't been put to death yet. You know, everybody gets mocked every now and then. Everybody gets made fun of. They do that. You know, we've had that since we were children. Children do that. But you know what? Here's the sad thing. Lost people do what lost people do because they're lost. And they need somebody to stand and give them the gospel and let them know that God loves them. Above all things, I want you to remember this fact, that it is God. God is the one who keeps record. God is the one who's keeping track of things. God is the one who is watching your faithfulness or your unfaithfulness for Him. And God is the one who has saved us, and He has given us the opportunity to take the message of the gospel to all that are lost. And we want to do that today. When God sent Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, guess what? Pharaoh did not become number one friend with Moses or Aaron. He said, "I don't know the God that you're talking about." And on 10 different occasions, God tried to get Pharaoh's attention. the last being far worse than anything else. And everybody that did not have the blood applied lost their firstborn, whether it be children, adult, cattle, beast of the field. The firstborn of that household was lost. It died. And yet, Pharaoh still hardened his heart against the Lord God. And folks, there are going to be people today that will not listen to what we have to say. But it does not recuse us of the responsibility that we have to be found faithful to give out the message of the gospel. We're to be faithful in what we do. We're to love them. We're to pray for them. Listen, there's a lot of folks. I think Brother Ralph was telling me about somebody he witnessed to the other night. And even this man's children are telling him about the Lord and telling him, you know, about how that God loves him. And the man would not get saved. And I told Brother Ralph, I said, you just keep on planting the seed. Just keep on planting. God will water it. And one of these days, God will give the increase. In God's timing, God does that. These folks were faithful. But then I want you to look at some of these prophets that ministered during the age of the judges. During the age of the judges. After Moses and Joshua, there came a period of time when God assigned various men to be judges over his people and to direct them in the paths of righteous living. They needed to learn this through God's instruction. They needed to learn this from the mouth of a person that would speak truth and give them what thus saith the Lord and not be afraid to take a stand. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, Samuel was one of these prophets. If you'll remember Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, she had been childless. She did not have a baby. She wanted a son to give unto the Lord. She went into the temple and she began praying and she was crying and she was weeping and she was probably worried that folks around her were going to wonder, what in the world is that woman weeping about? What's she crying about and all this stuff? So she was praying, but she was praying kind of silently unto God, but she was moving her lips. And Eli, okay, who was the prophet in the temple, thought that she was drunk. Now that's how far away really he was from God. If you'll remember, Eli's sons were, they served Belial. They did wicked things with the women, and they took people's monies, they took everything they had. They were no good testimony for the Lord. And Eli had not been much of a help to him about that. And you know what? He looked at her and he said, woman, you're drunk. And she said, oh, no, sir, I'm not drunk. My heart is burdened. I'm wanting a child. And God gave her that child. And she promised, she said, God, if you'll give me a son, then I'll give that son back to you. I'll lend him back to you. And I'll give him to you, Lord. He'll be used by you in any way that you see fit. And when that little boy was brought back to Eli, God began with him as a young child. And listen what the Bible said here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That word precious means it was something to be sought for. It was not always heard. You find precious jewels, okay? Men dig and they strive to find precious jewels in the mountains and the hills and things like this. And they dig for these things. Why? Because they're longed for. Somebody wants to find them. Gold is precious. Up in Alaska, man, they still sift for gold, and they try to find gold in them dark hills, okay? And they look for it. Why? Because it's precious to them. And then the days that Samuel was just a little boy, the word of God was precious to people when they heard it. It meant something to them. You know, the day in which we live today, sad to say, even in some people's lives that call themselves Christians, the Word of God is not very precious to them. It's forsaken. It's rejected. It's something we have in the house. If we have a bad day, we'll look at it and we'll say, well, Lord, I don't even know where to turn to it at. But folks, listen to me. The Word of God was precious in the days of Samuel. And look what the Bible said. There was no open vision. There was no open vision, neither from either the men of God or from the Word of God. There was nothing given. There was nothing being seen. There was nothing being heard. But as Samuel grew up, both physically and spiritually, Samuel, the Bible said, people took note of the faith in God that Samuel had. Why did he have that? Because his mother raised him that way. His mother taught him about God. And surely when she made that little coat for him and she put that little coat around him and left him with Eli, her heart grieved to give up her precious little boy. But she fulfilled the promise that she made to God. And she said, God, he's yours. Please use him, Lord. Please take him and use him for your honor and for your glory. And other men, if you'll read all the way through the book of Samuel, other men followed after the teachings and the visions that that God gave unto Samuel. And there was a school of the prophets, so to speak, that Samuel raised up. And he taught men to envision, to see what God wanted them to see and to know what God wanted them to know. Again, the sad thing is that people still rebelled against the Lord. And they still rejected his word. And the men of God that were sent to them, they did cruel things to them. Look over in the book of Jeremiah just a moment. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I was reading this week. Preparation for the lesson. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 21 through 26. The Bible said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. And let me say something here, folks. And don't take me the wrong way when I say this. I'm sure the Lord appreciates folks that give money and folks that give, you know, things that they have. But the sacrifice does not replace obedience unto God. And folks, if we're not going to do what we do for God because we love him enough to do it, then it really doesn't matter to God what we do for him at all. And that's what he was trying to tell them. Put away your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Listen, that's not what I wanted from you. That's not what I commanded you to do. He said, I commanded you to love me, to obey my voice, that it may be well with thee. Look what he said. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart. And they went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Folks, listen. The people chose to have a mortal man as their king. Remember when they chose Saul? They chose Saul because he looked like a king. He acted like a king. But he was not what God wanted him to have. And the folks got what they ended up with. A man that turned away from God. A man that wouldn't obey God. He wouldn't confess his sin unto God when he did wrong. And God said, nope, Saul, you've been rejected. It broke Samuel's heart to tell Saul He had been rejected by God. Why? Because he refused to obey the Lord. Folks, Samuel told Saul, behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Folks, today, God wants an obedient heart. Why do you obey the Lord? Because you love him enough to do it. God doesn't hold a big stick over our heads to make us obey him. Listen, my wife doesn't cook me. Man, she fixed pork chops last night. And man, she got them on sale. And these were big old thick things last night. Man, I couldn't eat but two of them. Precious was full after one. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Man, it was good. But you know what? She doesn't do all that stuff because I beat her over her head with a baseball bat and stuff like that. You know why she does that? Because she loves me. And I'm thankful for that. You know why I stay faithful to her? Because I love her. I love Precious too. Listen to me today. We do what we do for God because we love him enough to do it. Listen, when your children get sick and they throw up everywhere and they... I remember one time Stephen was sick and I had him up on my shoulder and I was taking him into the doctor's office and I was patting him on the back and I heard him start coughing. I said, Stephen, don't. And about the time I said, don't, I was trying to get him like this and it went from here to there. I mean, it just went everywhere. I didn't get rid of him because of that. You know, it didn't even cross my mind at the time. Okay, I did later, but I, finally somebody would marry him and take him on. But listen, we love them. We want them to grow in righteousness. And God wants you to grow in righteousness. But you only grow, you only learn of him as you learn to obey him. And these prophets of God did that. Listen, there were prophets that ministered during and after David. Okay? There were many that did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But there were many that did wrong by not listening to these men of God. There were men that tried to warn the rulers of the land, the kings of their days. And those kings had those men of God put into prison, and they would not hearken unto them. And there was one man here in 1 Kings chapter 22. If you look at this, 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning here in verse number 26, there was a prophet of God named Micaiah. Now you remember King Ahab. He married Jezebel, okay? Jezebel ruled the roost. And Ahab had more than 400 other prophets around him that he had probably handpicked and because they told him what he wanted to hear said. Listen, folks, if you want to find out truth from God, get you somebody that's not afraid to tell you what thus saith the Lord. But don't get mad at them because they tell you the truth. Get right with God. Get right with God. Here in 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 26, the Bible said how that the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction. Folks, that's moldy bread and nasty water. That's basically what it is. Okay? It's the stuff the rats won't eat or drink. Feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. Now, here's the situation. He's asking his prophets, should I go to war against the enemies? And the prophets said, oh, king, you're going to win this war. You're going to come back victorious. You're doing such a wonderful thing. It reminds me of the story, The King's New Clothes. You remember ever reading that as a little boy? The King's New Clothes, okay? And the king had no clothes. That was the thing. All right, but everybody's, oh, king, you just look wonderful. You look wonderful. That's the way we're living in a world like that today. But Micaiah had told him, said, King, even though there's 400 here that say it's all right to go, I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, if you go, you're going to die. And so the king says, take this man and put him in prison. Look at the last verse. And Micaiah, after the king says, put this fellow in prison, feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. In other words, till I come back from the war, keep him in prison. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. He said, God is not going to bless your king. He's going to die. And sure enough, guess what happened? He died. Others, given out through the word of God, they gave the word of God. Folks, listen to me. These men suffered in many, many ways. Many were thrown in prison. Many were put to death. Other prophets of God included Elijah, okay, and Elisha, that preached against the worshiping of Baal and all the other pagan idols. God used many of these men, both before the Babylonian exile, during that exile, and even after that exile, to point the people back to God. But let me show you some purposes of these Old Testament prophets. Number one, there were two things that they did. Number one, they were considered to be seers. Seers. That's not the store, okay? But seers, people who saw things, they envisioned things. God gave them visions of things that were going to happen, and they declared those things to the people. The other group were prophets, and the prophets were the one that served as God's spokesman and to tell those that were away from God, thus saith the Lord. Moses, Aaron were prophets of God. They went to Pharaoh and they said, God said, let my people go. And yet they would not listen. Whatever God commanded these prophets to tell the people is what they declared unto them and to the rulers. And God sent them with the theme, like what we read in our theme verse this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to go back one verse to the latter part of verse 7. And it said, go to all that I shall send thee. You remember Jonah? God was going to send Jonah to Nineveh. And God said, these people need to get saved. Jonah said, not by my hand, I'm going to Tarshish. He did not want to do what God said do. But God told him, he said, you go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So whether God used a man as a seer who envisioned God's plan, you know, or whether God used him as a prophet to boldly to declare that message that God said deliver, these men were used of God. Go over to Isaiah chapter 30 just a moment. Isaiah chapter 30. God used these men to speak the word of God and the message of God so that the people, no matter what they thought, no matter what their opinion was, they were going to know what God said. And in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10, the Bible said, here's why I want you to go. Here's your purpose. That this, I want you to know something, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Listen to me, folks. That's the world we're living in today. Men's hearts have not changed. Since the days of the Garden of Eden, men's hearts have not changed. And neither has God's message. And to be a good child of God, to be a faithful servant of God, it demands courage. I want you to look here, the activities of the Old Testament prophets. I'm going to close it out here for you real quick. Number one, there was to be ethical preaching, moral preaching. In Isaiah here, he said, your people have said to the seers, see not. Don't tell me what God showed you. Don't show us what the results are for sin. They told the prophets, prophesy not unto us like what you're saying, but prophesy unto us good things. I remember seeing a commercial the other day, and they were talking about Joel Osteen talking about, he doesn't tell people about their sin. People have too many things to worry about now. It's no sense in getting them all upset about sin. Folks, listen to me. You and I need to be courageous today, because if folks don't realize their sin, they'll never realize their need of a Savior.
That's right.
If there is no hell, there's no reason for a heaven. If there was no hell, there would have been no reason for God to send His dear Son Jesus and allow Him to be mocked and blasphemed and ridiculed and smitten and beaten of wicked men, crucified and nailed to a cross, to suffer and bleed and die like He did. But because there is a hell, folks need to know about it. And folks need to be encouraged to stay away from it. Ethical preaching. These men of God preached the moral standards of God. They showed the people how that God was holy. Sin demanded results. And you know what? It's like it was in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And God was trying to show these people the difference between false and real, true. The difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the profane. They were to teach ethical teaching. In Isaiah became the man that God wanted him to be when he got his eyes off of man. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I want to say this today, and I'm not saying this to get anybody upset, but Isaiah had his eyes on the king, the ruler of the land. Uzziah was a good man. He served the Lord. He tried to do that which was right. And listen to me today. Our help is not in the President of the United States. He is not the one that's going to help us. Listen to me today. Politics is not the answer for what the world needs today. And Isaiah, I really believe in my heart, when you read through this, Isaiah had his eyes on man. And God said, Isaiah, I can't use you with your eyes on man. I want you to have your eyes on me. And when God removed Uzziah, then Isaiah was then able to see God high and lifted up. Because Isaiah knew that only God could get them out of the mess that they were in. Folks, that's where we are today. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus. We got to get our eyes on God. And all the rest of it will take care of itself. Listen, they gave detailed predictions. They wrote great poetry. The Word of God is one of the greatest literature masterpieces. It is the greatest literature masterpiece in all the world. But it came through the hands of men that were used of God, God's servants, the Old Testament prophets. I want you to understand something today. The whole purpose for God sending His prophets into this world was so that the people might know exactly what thus saith the Lord. And that is why God has saved you. That is why God has saved me. And He has chosen to leave us in this world so that we could be a light to those who are still walking in darkness. There are many today that are walking in darkness, and all they need is somebody to just come and shed the light of the gospel in their heart and their life. But it takes courage. It takes courage. It takes boldness. And that is only going to come through God, through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us. Amen. Let's be willing today to be the servants of God that God wants us to be, Let's be filled with his power. Listen, never forget, faithful service unto God requires great courage. It requires great boldness. But that comes from the Lord. It's not in us. It's all from him. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, so much for this lesson that teaches us how that, Lord, the strength to stand, the ability to do what we do for you comes only from you and the sweet Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And Father, I ask you, Lord, today to bless this class. Use them to be great witnesses for you no matter where they may go. And Lord, as we study these men of God from the Old Testament scriptures, help us, Lord, to see them as good examples that we can fashion our lives as in our service unto you today. Lord, if there be someone that's lost today, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart and help them, Lord, to see their need of a Savior. Give me strength now, Lord, as I stand to preach in just a few moments. And I pray, God, that you'll give me the words to say that will be pleasing unto you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, folks, today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.